choice, special. Never mind. You put here. Wait. You put here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, got gallant. Yeah? Very good. Yeah. Can reach. Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 来放这边。OK, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Clifford sure long enough. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Walk to the side there. Walk to the side there. Joyce, you can reach Kuan Yin. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Wow, today we got a lot of garland and flower. Oh, one more. Wow, very good, very good. Sadhu. Maybe let her do it slowly. Let Yun Chan do one. Yun Chan, come. Give you the honor. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can choose between the two. Which one you like? Amitabha. Oh, okay. That one have to walk the other way at the back. Go to the back. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Good. One more. This one is for Amitabha. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. One more small one, small one for Maitreya. Yeah. No more. Oh, never mind. It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah. So we rejoice, One more time, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. Now you can be seated, Just relax yourself, body and mind. Then we can have our meditation, okay. Is there somebody new? Sue, oh, okay, yeah, your friend is it, Stephanie? Oh, Sue. Oh, your neighbor, okay, you're most welcome, please join us. She meditate before? Oh, beginner, okay, then I will give you some instruction, don't worry, just relax yourself, body and mind, then if you can cross your leg, you will try to cross your leg. If you cannot, you can just sit on a couch or a chair. There are some chairs around. Then you can also maybe stretch your leg out if you find that it is painful. To develop the meditation, you can do it in any posture, whether sitting, lying down, or standing or walking. Whatever posture that is conducive, comfortable to you to maintain a stable posture so that you can relax body and mind and train your mind to be peaceful, to be calm. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. For those who are new, who need instruction, I will give you some simple instruction. According to the Buddha, the reason why most people or living beings who have not trained their mind, they cannot meditate is because they have the five mental hindrances. Hindrances are mind state that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. So this arises because of heedlessness, because living beings think a lot and they just react to sense experience throughout the day. That's how they create the mental hindrance. So we are here to decondition this heedless thinking. So I will teach you a skillful means to do that. Then later on, if you are interested, you will have to develop further understanding of the opposite five, which the Buddha called the five spiritual faculties, to counter the hindrance. You can read them in the book later on I will give you. Then when your mental faculties are there, the hindrance will cease to be. So technically you don't have to fight the hindrance. You don't have to control, suppress or do anything with the hindrance. You just have to relax body and mind, silent everything, and maintain the silent mind, which is the meditative mind. The mind that is without thinking, without thought, is the meditative mind. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware, mindful. So you don't have to try to be aware, no need. Just relax and allow the mind to settle down. Then finally it will become quiet, peaceful on its own. Whatever problem you have, tell the mind you are here to meditate, to train the mind. So you will think about it or delve with it later after the meditation. So in the meantime, allow your mind to have some moment of peacefulness so that you have the space to train your mind, to relax body and mind and meditate. Okay, relax body and mind. The key thing is relax. Relax into every mind state. Then don't try to know, just relax, silent. Then maintain awareness within, means aware, just aware, silent and aware. Then try to feel your forehead. This is the initial skillful means, which we call mind sweeping method, to help you decondition your heedless thinking and to make you peaceful and calm. So this mind sweeping method start from the forehead. So you silence everything, maintain attention at the forehead. Then just feel, don't think, feel, just feel. Any tension, any tightness or any stress within that you can feel, you just relax them, relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention down from your forehead to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel and relax. Relax each and every strand of your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscle are not relaxed. So you feel, then you relax it. Then you move down your attention to feel your facial muscle. Each and every strand, just feel and relax. Don't think. When you feel and relax, you don't think. Your mind will become more and more calm, more and more peaceful. Just feel, relax each and every strand of your facial muscle. Then in order to help you to relax more, you can use another skillful means. You visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are happy, you are peaceful, your mind is relaxed. That's why when you radiate a radiant smile, you will naturally feel relaxed. Your facial muscle will relax by itself because of your smile. then you can read it love and metta following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your whole body and your mind. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Really feel it, not just parroting, just silently read it and feel. Then you can continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You must feel it, that your mind, mentally and physically, there is no suffering. There is just peacefulness and joy. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can repeat this metta to your loved one. You can visualize your loved one. It could be your parents, your spouse, your children, your brothers, your sister, or your good friend. You relate the same to them. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this well-being to them. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you continue this metta by reading, may all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, together with all our Dhamma friends, co-meditator, be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can also read it, the same metta, to all beings within the vicinity of access to Petalingjaya, slang of Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, and our solar system, our galaxy, and then finally to all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle and just feel, relax everything. Then you sweep it down to your shoulder. Feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your chest area, which is where your heart is. You just silence everything and just feel. If you are sensitive and you can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat, then you just silence everything and stay there. just feel and allow the awareness or that feeling be there. If you are new, you are not sensitive, it's okay, because this is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the life force arises and passes away, your karmic force. And this is also where the seat of consciousness is, where you become conscious. And the life force is the one, the karmic force, the supportive karma that pumps your heart and allow the blood to flow and nourish all your organs. So this one is a very important location. Just relax, feel, then you can detect any vibration or any heartbeat. You just stay there. If you can't, then it's okay. Just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your heart area. Then you just relax, relax, relax into every part. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress, you just relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then move it down to your stomach, do the same. Feel, relax. Then your abdomen also same, silent everything, feel and relax. Then move your attention down to your leg, feel and relax. Then your buttock, do the same. Then you can reverse this mind sweeping method. From the buttock, you feel, relax. Your leg, you feel, relax. Then you move it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Chest area, feel, relax and silent everything. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Your hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then your facial muscle, feel and relax every part. Then you move on to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. So this is the meditative mind. We need to stabilize this. I will teach you another skillful mean. We call it anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril, where you breathe in and breathe out naturally. You just silence everything and just feel. When the mind detects the breathing, the mind follows the breathing. No more thought, just aware. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware of the breath that goes in. Breathing out, the mind is aware of the breath that goes out. Initially, if you are new, you have not trained, you will come to realize the mind wanders off very fast. Within split second, you cannot follow the breath already. But it's okay. If you are patient enough, you just allow it to be. Just tell yourself the untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot. It will wander off. So you just relax and mindfully, patiently go back to the breathing. Again, start anew. Every time the mind wanders off, you come back to the breathing. Maintain attention there and feel. The moment you detect the breathing, follow. Mind and breath move as one without thought. If you are patient enough, if you continue this type of training, within 5-10 minutes, very lightly, anapanasati will stabilize and you can feel the breathing very naturally. If you can do that, then I would like to rejoice with you. Then when anapanasati is stable, when the mind does not wander off anymore, when it's continuously aware of the in and out breath, you will feel very peaceful, very calm. Your mind state becomes very different. When you are without thought and just aware, mindful of the in and out breath, you will develop a type of mind which they call spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness, or they call it Bali piti. You will experience piti, a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture or joy within your mind states. When you experience this, you will like to meditate. then continue to relax into it and allow it to stabilize and become more and more refined. Then it will become long breath, and you will become more and more calm, more and more calm, until finally you will experience a blissful mind, which we call sukha. Sukha is a blissful state of mind. Then you continue to relax into it and allow the sukha to be. Then it will transform further, and the mind will become quiet again, until like no more breathing. Everything become very quiet, very subtle, very still. We call it pasati, tranquility of mind, or stillness of mind, or the silent mind. And this is the meditative mind. So I will allow you to train your mind to develop until it's very quiet, very peaceful, and very, very relaxed. Then after that, this mind can meditate. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, yeah, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner awareness that you have developed. These are the trained mind state that you need to develop so that you can continue with your meditation in the midst of life itself. The trained mind is very different. It will not be like before, heedless, think a lot. When you train this mind, it will listen to you. You want it to be silent. The moment you sit, you are silent. You want it to be aware, it's just aware. Then when you want it to investigate and develop the understanding of what is going on, to find out who are you, what are you, and what is this human being all about, and to see clearly how you function as a human being, what is this core mind? Then how did it interact with the world? How did it know the world? This is what you can do to the trained mind. It can investigate, it can understand. And this is what meditation is all about. Train the mind to be peaceful, silent, and just aware to understand all this. And you have to develop this ability to be mindful, heedful, even in the midst of life. You have to carry on this training until your daily life, daily mindfulness is very, very mindful. Then as it stabilizes, it becomes ever mindful. Then when you can be ever mindful to develop this meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, you become heedful. And when you are heedful throughout the day, you are destined for enlightenment. So no more problem. Okay? Then the other thing that I want to let those who already know how to meditate, always remember your meditation will not come to fruit or friction if you don't stabilize this mind and maintain this mindfulness until in the midst of your daily life. You are mindful, you are heedful throughout the day. That's why sati is very important, the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya is very important. Especially sati, you must cultivate until you are throughout the day more or less mindful. And you can do your training in various ways. The best is to have a very good religious routine, daily religious routine. Every morning when you wake up, pay respect to Triple Gem. If you need to answer Nietzsche's call, you go ahead, but do it mindfully. Aware of every action, every movement in the present moment. How you move, how you walk, how you stand, how you sit, and how you lie down, and how you develop awareness of yourself, your body and mind, and how you can see all of the movement and action in life. Later on, when your mind stabilizes, it becomes heedful, aware, mindful on its own, then your mind can be with the specific phenomena that your senses are able to see. Then every moment of seeing is with mindfulness, specific phenomena awareness. Then every moment of hearing, the mind is different, there is mindfulness. Then every moment of smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, you are very different. You become very heedful, very mindful. And this is how you will progress. Then when you can do this throughout the day, you will understand, you will come to know. Then even every time you come for puja, you pay respect, you are very different. The movement of your body and mind become like synchronized. Then everything is like in slow motion. like you don't think like before anymore. You just aware. That every turning movement or what, the mind is like a flow, continue with the action. You can anchor your mindfulness to all your physical movement. We call it kaya. Kaya is bodily movement and activity. Kaya nupasana. So mindfulness of all your physical activity, as I, the phenomena of nature. You have your physical flow, then you can be mindful of your mental movement, all of your aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind, mental states, and consciousness. You can be mindful of them. It's like a flow. Then you can also be mindful of specific nature's phenomena. That's why they call it nature's phenomena. Physical, mental, and nature. And they are all covered under the four foundations of mindfulness. Kaya nupassana, vedana, citta, and dhamma nupassana. Okay, with that, we will continue with our invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Okay. I will read to you the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or the teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now we chant the Pali together. Devaratana. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaneyo, anuterang punyaketang lokasatihi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang pujami, damang pujami, sanghang pujami. Okay. You can be seated, huh? Then we will continue from where we stop. The Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta. We stop at chapter 15, page 125. Then before we start, turn to page 1, verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 125. The merits and virtue of holding the sutta. Before we go into the sutta proper, maybe is there anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question relating to the meditation or the Dhamma? Anybody? Yeah. As usual, nobody. Everybody waiting for Hui Rong. You saw what Tung Siya Wen Ma, Hui Rong. Pass the mic to her. Push it all up. Push it already. Let me check. Never mind, let me check. No, it's nothing to do with that. No, on it already. Oh, then I have to change the battery.
Yes. 念经只是一个 tools，
对，嗯，
它只是让我，因为我没有想到什么 Mary 什么不，
yeah， 对对，
我觉得对我来讲，是让我比较快 stable 这样子，
yeah， correct，
所以当我可以很快 stable 之后，我就很少去念经
啊， yes， very good。
那我不知道，
yeah。
而且我也觉得没有什么不妥。
对， 对 ，very good。
那我不知道是不是这，而且是很自然的情况之下。
对对，
那我觉得我不再依赖他。
啊，对 ，very good。
所以我觉得，从我刚开始其实，对念经很有兴趣，而且，
对，
我念了我会觉得我很
啊 peaceful， calm，
很有 faith， 而且 peaceful。然后渐渐进。就不知不觉，然后其实 understand 之后，然后你就会发现，
yeah，
其实
very good，
你不用一直去
对
去 hold 住它，
yeah， 对 ，very good， I will explain it， very good，
不过它是一段很慢慢的，
对，
不是马
上，对，它是慢慢 through understanding， then 它自己会发现到，which is very good， I will explain it。
然后在有一些场合，可能你会突然也不知道为什么，就突然会冒出以前你所念经的可能一些片段，或者是
啊，对 ，Yeah， it will happen， very good， Sadhu。
那就好像 meditation 一样，其实我以前会很刻意说啊，我就几点起床，然后就开始，
yes，
然后后来发现，哎，其实好像自然而然就。
Yeah，
也没有刻意，然后
不用了的，
我有时候
whole day itself is the meditation， 所以你一了解了啊那一段呢，你就不会执着几点起身，几点做什么，不会了的。Where every moment, every instant is meditation。Very good。
我还做不到24小时，
不
过，
不用这么快，慢慢来。
不过我常常会，我觉得，然后我就会。稍微沉淀一下，然后我就觉得我有达到所谓以前的那个效果。
好的，好的，呀，我了解，我了解 ，very good， OK， 你关掉，我 explain off the thing 啊 ，already， it's a very good question from Hui Rong， for those who don't know Mandarin or don't quite understand Mandarin， question is very very important， it will let other people understand。He said last time he depend on the chanting. It can be Mahayana chanting or Theravada chanting or whatever chanting. Eli is depend on to calm herself down, to develop the faith. Then she can meditate. Then over the years, as she developed the understanding, then she realized nowadays because the mind itself become peaceful on its own.Calm on his own, he realized he don't need the chanting anymore to make him peaceful and develop the faith. It is true understanding. But then she also realized that this one take time. It doesn't come overnight. Then she explained just now, she came to realize that this chanting actually is just a tool. She used the word T-O-O-L, or what I used to call the initial skillful means.To anchor your mind. You understand anchor your mind or not? Because without the chanting, you think a lot. You are heedless. Most people, they think a lot in their daily life. They are very heedless. Heedlessness is you are not aware at all. The thought keep on arising, respond to memory through your conditioning, through your views and your opinion, your habitual tendency.So all this create mental hindrance and make you not peaceful. Because mental hindrance are mind states that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why she come to realize that it's just an initial skillful means. That's why everywhere you go, when you go for meditation,What they teach you, yeah? Initially, what they teach you, all the method, technique, skillful means. Actually, those are just skillful means to train the mind. But they teach it to you without understanding. To them, that is meditation. And some even define that type of meditation as vipassana. And that will be more colorful. What they are doing is actually they realize or they understand that the mind needs to be trained because it is not peaceful. It thinks a lot, it wanders off very fast. So to them, meditation is to go there to train the mind to be peaceful, to be calm. And this is what they are looking for. That's why when you go for retreat, after a while, despite the pain, despite the uncomfortableness and other things, but because you are in that environment, that setting, after a day or two, you tend to settle down, and your mind tend to be more calm and more peaceful. Then they thought they have progressed. Then some try very hard, they focus their mind, they concentrate their mind, they go into absorption, they experience all the calmness, the peacefulness, the fantastic meditation. So they thought they have progress. Then they try to relate to the teaching. They have what insight, what jhana, and all those things. Not realizing that all this is just conditioned state. Mind state born of that condition. So when you start to develop the meditation on a different scale according to what the Buddha has teach you, which Hui Rong did, you will start to understand as you train yourself in the daily religious routine. Then initially she also said, she thought last time you have to discipline yourself, which is correct. Initially you have to do that. You got no choice. You have to wake up early and do. Don't give excuse early morning when you wake up, before you sleep, and in between whenever you have free time or lunch break or what. Then you develop your religious routine means you relax body and mind, either train your mind through mind sweeping method or combine with metta. Then when you already have the spiritual faculty, you don't have to, you straight away go into the meditative state, you relax, silent, aware, and stabilize that mindfulness. Then after that, maintain awareness as you come out of the meditation. Then develop daily mindfulness or all action, all movement throughout the day in your daily activity. Or sometime in your daily religious routine, you can just pay respect to the Buddha, the Triple Gem. Then do the bowing, enough. Then when you are free at home, you just do the walking, relax, contemplate, develop mindfulness. Then while you are cooking, doing your household chores for housewife, lady, or in your office, maintain mindfulness of all your action and movement, activity. As you stand, what trigger you to stand? The bladder, the tactile conscience that wants to go toilet, condition you to go. Then because of that, because you have been habitual in all this, you do it without awareness. That's why you quickly go to the toilet. How you stand up, how you walk, how you go, also you're never aware. But as you develop this training, you are so different. Your movement, your activity, everything is like synchronized, part of you. Then how you actually reach the toilet, how you actually open the door, how you move it, then how you walk in, then how you prepare yourself to answer nature's call. Then as you answer nature's call, you are fully aware. But most people cannot do that. They think a lot. Even while answering nature's call, they think. Then they feel relief. That's it. The tension in the bladder, the whatever that they have been enduring or what, suddenly released. Then they feel good. Then they are not even mindful of what happened after that. They will do their usual, wash their hand, then zip everything, wash their hand, then walk out. Then how they walk out, how they close the door, and how they go back to their seat, they are just thinking. They are not aware at all. But if you have developed this training, you become very different. That's why throughout the day, you are more or less aware and mindful, and you can settle down very fast. that you had developed the spiritual faculty to contemplate during puja, during your contemplative moment, to reflect and understand who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And his teaching is so unique. It can make you enlightened. It can liberate your mind and free you from all suffering. It can let you understand clearly who are you, what are you. And it can bring forth the condition you for you to truly live life. Live life to the fullest, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And all this will unfold in front of you when you develop the appropriate meditative understanding or wisdom. So this is what meditation is all about. Stabilizing your spiritual faculty, especially sati, mindfulness, until throughout the day you are mindful and aware. Then after that you realize you're completely different. You are heedful throughout the day. Not like last time. Think a lot. The thought is always out. The thought precedes the action and the movement. Yeah. Your thought, which is a forerunner, all things, keep on thinking and way ahead of your action, your speech, and your thought process. Yeah. And throughout the day, you are heedlessly thinking, planning, worrying, complaining, reacting, stirring, creating all the hindrance. So this is heedless living. But later on, as you train, as you develop this understanding, which way you risk going through, you realize you are more calm, more peaceful. Your mind state is just aware. Then when you want to meditate, it's very easy. Because the spiritual faculty is there. The hindrance no more. You just relax, silence, sit, or lie down. You are so calm, so peaceful. Yeah. Then later on, as you develop the ability to be mindful in your action and your movement, then throughout the day you are peaceful, you are mindful. Then you realize that this way of living is heedful living, as opposed to last time, heedless living. The heedless living mind think a lot, worry a lot, have a lot of anxiety, like and dislike, sorrow and lamentation, has a lot of mental hindrance. The evil roots are there because you lack mindfulness, you lack awareness, you lack wisdom. You cannot see and you cannot understand all this. Then the mind becomes like burdened with a lot of things. That's why the Buddha says attachment, clinging, grasping, or your craving, your selfishness, your desire, your delusion is the cause of suffering. The five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas. So when you live life holding on to everything that you arise through your mind state, just like every moment of consciousness when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, the phenomenal world is like so real to you. You grasp, you cling, you hold, you give meaning. You continue to dwell into it. Your problems, your worry, your anxiety, things that you hold on to dearly. Then when you have situation or life problem, like health problem, financial problem, career problem, relationship problem, then crime related police case and other things. All this can make your mind unhappy, miserable, arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety. And this is suffering, misery. That's why the Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth. Noble truth of suffering, prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. You don't have the teaching, the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. You don't have the wisdom to understand them. Then when you are confronted with the first noble truth reality, the eight type of condition, then the living being will be afflicted. They will arise in their mind a lot of sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness. So this is what the teaching is all about. So Hui Rong's question was very good. he said, after he come to understand all this, her mind state is different. Then she no longer like before, attached to all this, thinking that I want to meditate, I must chant first. Then thinking that every day I must wake up at what time, I must do things at what time, and all say, no. Then you will realize one very important thing. Everything is continuously in a state of flux, arising and passing away, following nature's law. That's why dependent originating. So Dhamma is dynamic, active in life. It's not rigid. That's why you cannot be rigid in life. Everything must follow a rigid routine. No. Even as we plan, we have to understand we are in a dynamic situation. When conditions differ, you have to accord and flow, otherwise you suffer. So all these are understanding that you will develop. But Dhamma is like that. Everyone is different. Every place is different. Every condition is different. The consciousness is evolving. Every moment, every instant is evolving. The collective consciousness, the summation of all consciousness of living beings, will form the collective consciousness. So the collective is a movement of all the summation of all the individual. So if the individual does not develop wisdom, this collective consciousness will become worse and worse. That's why the individual must change, like Krishnamurti say. When the individual change, the collective will change. Otherwise, there is no way. So whatever you do, it contributes towards the collective consciousness, even for our country. So if you have this understanding, you will take care of your consciousness. You will add to the purification of your own consciousness. You will avoid all the negativity of consciousness. When you start to do that, you create condition for the environment to be different. Then if you can be an example for others to follow, like we are Kayanamitas. As the Kayanamita develop understanding, their loved one, their whatever neighbors, friends, colleagues and other things, those who have relationship with them, they can also be touched. And when they are touched, they can also develop the understanding. And hopefully this can expand. That's how the collective can evolve and change. You only need to start with one. One become many. Many become infinity. But you have to develop the, what they call, patience, the endurance, the diligence, the faith. Otherwise, this one, that light, because our form and mind doesn't last that long. And it's very easy to be heedless than to be heedful, because of the ingrained habitual tendency. The evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, they are so deeply ingrained in the living being's mind because they lack wisdom, they lack this Dhamma understanding. So because of that, to bring forth the condition for change is not easy. You need that numbers, even very small. You actually need 1 or 2% of living being to have this understanding, that it will have tremendous impact on the collective consciousness. But the pitiful thing is now, in the world, our planet, is less than 0.00001% who has that understanding. That's why it's not easy. Even among us, Kayanamita, as we develop, the number is not much, maybe maximum 200. But this 200 has made a great impact upon our consciousness, because instead of creating heedlessness, delusion and the evil roots, and the coming negativity, a lot of you all has become so different. you are more kind, more considerate, more generous. You are more aware of your emotion, your feeling. You are more sensitive to other people's emotion and feeling. Then you can contribute towards your family happiness, peacefulness. Your family unit start first. Then after that, Kayanamita, your friends. That's why every time we had our sharing or what they call gathering of Kayanamita or monthly house dana and other things, or even our retreat or spiritual trip, we got so much joy and so much wholesomeness. The amount of wholesomeness, the goodness that you arise, you will never understand until you develop that cultivation to a certain extent. Then you realize this type of condition to do all this wholesomeness, parami, and contribute towards humanity's peacefulness, happiness, harmony, and joy is very difficult to come by. Very difficult to come by. And when you have the condition to do it in this life, you should count your blessing, your good karma from your past. Then from here onward, you can even develop the great understanding so that from now onward, in future, life after life, when you have to come or you choose to come, you already have this understanding. That's why the Bodhisattva vow is very important. When you sincerely, with the faith, commit yourself to that understanding and vow diligently, it will pave the way for your nature to have this understanding life after life. And life after life, you come with this understanding, your life will be equally beautiful like what you experienced this life. And this one money cannot buy. But it's given free. And you don't need much money to actually receive all this. You can just keep your precept, meditate, rejoice, then partake in all this kayamitas, spiritual activity. Then the merits, the blessing, the wholesomeness, they are limitless, beyond your wildest dream, if you can understand. So all this will pave the way for causes and conditions for your nature in future to move on, to walk the path of Dhamma, to realize this beautiful teaching of the Buddha. Then you can be really a blessing to all, to all of humanity, especially your loved ones, people who have relationship with you. All these beings, they will benefit. Then later on, when you have the condition, you can also touch the heart of other living beings. And you can also start to come out to share and to teach. Because your character, your personality will shine forth, just like the incense, the fragrance will shine forth far and wide. Then this virtue, this wisdom, this understanding, this so-called blessings that you have cultivated and planted, they will shine forth far and wide, and people will feel you. They feel safe with you. They trust you. And they will come to you when they have problem or situation. Just like a lot of Kayanamita, they also have helped many people, especially Sri Andi or their side, Subang, and even our Tuesday class, many have benefited. Some with severe depression, severe suffering due to various type of First Noble Truth reality that they confront. Then after they understand, they just come out of it. They don't even have to see psychiatrists anymore. Even the medication that they take, the drug or whatever, they can just drop it. And through understanding, they come out of it beautiful. Their minds, they become more beautiful. The understanding gives them that ability to regain back their life and stand out beautifully, to live that type of noble life again, which is so different from before. Before, through heedlessness, through delusion, through ignorance, create your own mental suffering. Because this delusion, ignorance, condition you to be heedless. And through that heedlessness, they arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and mental hindrance that bring forth the condition for them to commit all the negativity of karma. That's how they fall, karmic nature fall. Then they continuously reap the fruit of karmic negativity. That's how they suffer so much. So these are very important understanding. So once again, I'd like to thank Hui Rong for the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. So now we can continue with our Diamond Sutta. Page 125, chapter 15. Subhati, a good man or good woman might in the morning give up as many bodies as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River. And again, at noon, might give up as many bodies as there are grains of sand in the Ganges. And again, in the evening, give up as many bodies as there are grains of sand in the Ganges. Give up bodies in that way throughout measureless millions of kapas. Kapas is a world cycle, world cycle. And one world cycle is very long. It's like the whole universe. They arise, then they go through the growth phase, then they degenerate, then they cease. That is one world cycle. But if someone else were to hear this sutta and believe it with no reservation, means without doubt, the faith is unshakable. His blessing would surpass the foremost one. How much the more so if people can write out, receive, hold, read, recite, and explain it for others. This is Sakyamuni's way of expressing the power of this Diamond Sutta understanding. When you have the condition to develop this understanding, the field of merits, the virtue that you develop, they are actually very different, limitless. So here the example is, he said, if you can, let's say, like a man or a woman, might in the morning give up as many bodies, means sacrifice yourself to do all those wholesomeness or goodness. Then afternoon you do the same, then evening you do the same. Giving up the bodies in that way throughout measureless millions of world cycle. See, millions of world cycle doing good. You sacrifice, understand? You sacrifice, let's say you sacrifice for the animal to eat and all those things. Then you sacrifice for humanity and all those things. So you give out your own body means every mind state that you arise, understand? You're selfless, let's say you just do to benefit living beings. So even you do good like that, let's say you help people, you are very kind, very compassionate, you sacrifice yourself, you do everything for people. So you give up your bodies, means your selfishness. So you keep on doing all this. Even you do for millions of kapas, the merits and virtue that being received cannot compare to even, you see what the sutta say? But if someone else were to hear this sutta and believe it with no reservation, you just have to believe it with no reservation. Your merits, his merit, would surpass the former one. See? how powerful this sutta is. The moment you hear it with understanding and you have the faith without reservation, means unshakable faith, that merit itself is so powerful. No? It surpasses all those that the living being has done for millions and millions of kapas. Even every day, morning, afternoon, and night, you do. You do good, you do wholesomeness and all things. For so long, your merits, blessing, and virtue that you accumulate cannot compare to even somebody who just hear the sutta, develop the clear faith, unshakable faith. His blessing and his merit far exceed the former. See how powerful this sutta is? Then he said, how much the more? The English very different. Huh? How much the more? It direct translate from Mandarin. We have to use Jianhua's expression. How much the more so if people can write out, receive, hold, read, recite, and explain it to others. That one is a very powerful one. When you can explain this sutta to benefit the living beings. When you can share this understanding with living beings. The field of merits is even much, much more. Subhati, the merits and virtue of this sutta are inexpressible, inconceivable, boundless, and beyond all praise. It is spoken by the Tathagata for those who have set out on the great vehicle. What is the great vehicle? Yeah. But more important is the Bodhisattva way to be Sama Sambuddha. Mahayana, the name may be great vehicle, but if you go Mahayana and don't have the resolve, the Bodhisattva vow to become Sama Sambuddha, you are not cultivating the great vehicle. So this one is very important. Those who have set out on the supreme vehicle, if people can recite, receive, hold, read, recite, and speak it for others, they are completely known by the Tathagata. See? If you can do this, the Tathagata will know you. You know why? Because your virtue, your blessing. It's just like you are a school teacher. The good student, you will know them one and there. But sometimes the naughty one also, you know. So the notorious one. But most of the time, the good one, you will know that one. Knows my nature, doesn't know me. The form and mind got no meaning. This nature, yes. This nature has been there for very long. This nature, you cannot imagine how long. It's really, really long. Last time I told you, not I say one. I also heard from this lady who has contact with those up there. That was in 1989, I think. Then she approached me in Brickfield. At first I didn't know. I said, how come this lady, young lady, you know, very fair one, do yoga one. Keep on coming to the tape library, you know, because I was in charge, my wife, my children, they are there. Keep on coming and want to borrow tape and sit there, just like want to talk, want to get to know me. Then later on, somehow the condition unfold, then she get to know me. Then after we become like more acquainted, she actually came to me because she wants to meet up with my second last teacher. Yeah, they also energy field one. Then later on, after meeting up, then over a year or two, then she start to tell us a lot of the story. Then only I knew why she came and how she came. She told me, "Brother, do you know who you are?" I said, "I don't know." Up there, tell me. He said, "They told her you go and try to make contact, get to know this Brother Teo." He said, "He is the longest cultivator. He to her. The longest is it. You can never find one longer than him. That's how he came. Then when he told me all this, at first I just laughed. Because no point. Then later on, as we get more and more acquainted, she invited me to go with them. There's one group of Dharma friends, even from Singapore, they come. They want to buy land and property in Fraser's Hill and offer for Dharma activity and all those things. Then they want to put under my name. No? I said, no, please. Yeah, this one become very messy. Yeah, they say they trust me. But they are Singaporean. They say they are foreigner. They want to put under a local people. I said, never mind. It's okay. And because they invite me to go up, so I went up. A lot of things happened. No? That's why I like Fraser's Hill also. Because the devas, the non-human there also, I tell you, very very unique breed. There was so many, you know, where she can see them. And her friend up there is, because she passed life, one birth before, she was also up there with them. Then the moment she was born into Earth, since birth, they located her, and they were actually very close to her. That's why she can retain that type of vibration and consciousness. Then later on, she can see them, communicate with them, and learn a lot of things from them. And they tell her a lot of stories. Then they can read your mind or not. Oh, your mind. That's why when I was having sharing with the first batch, the Kayamita, this lady keep on laughing. Every time she laughs, I know something. Sometimes, like I share with you now, they know I thirsty or no. And they will condition one of the Kayamita to go and get me a drink. And they know what type of drink I like. How you explain all that? Then they can see a lot of non-human waiting for sharing of merits. For our Akasataj, Bhupata, the Devas. Then the Idang Menyati Nanghotu. Lot, you see. And they are much, much more than the human being. Human being is nothing. And in the broad daylight, she can see all this non-human. She will tell you there, how many they're out there. That's why you think it's fairy tale. Then got one time when my car has a tire punctured. That time my second last teacher was there also. So I came down. Then I checked the tire punctured. I said, I have to replace the tire. Then my second last teacher also came now. Then I saw her looking out. Then she kept on smiling. Then I knew. I asked her, I said, why are you smiling? They want to come down and help you, is it? To replace the tire. Oh, I say, very good. But I say, never mind. This one I can do. At that time, I still young. So after I replace the tire. There's a lot of things happening. You all don't know. Only living beings don't know. Lost in your thought, the small thought world, understand not? Trapped in thought. But actually, a lot of things, the other non-humans, or those who have mindfulness awareness, they are so aware of the situation. Even how our planet go through 2012 and all those things. A lot of living beings are really ignorant, deluded, don't know what is happening. But for those who are in the spiritual field, they know there are so many great beings coming over to help the consciousness. Otherwise, our civilization would have gone. That 2012 was a real, real good. I don't call it a miss. We really managed to pass through, and we came out beautifully. So because of that, I used to say our consciousness will improve. A lot of things will change, will happen for the better. That day I remember on our flight to Wat Nha Long, I was discussing with some Kayamita, I think Brother Sia, I think, and Nancy. So I told them, I said, don't have to worry because they were so negative about Malaysia, huh? Especially our country, so many things not right. It's about your how, I said, you don't worry, the consciousness will improve. It will turn around. But it need to hit something first, then it will turn around. He cannot understand, no? He just keep quiet. Wait until we landed in Wat Na Long, on the third day before we go back, then only he come and ask me, Freddie was there, remember? Freddie was there. He asked me, Freddie was there. He said, Freddie, I cannot understand. Why you say we all, a lot of great beings will come, he didn't know. He said, why do you say Malaysia is still okay? We will turn around, we will become beautiful. Then I look at him. I say, maybe you cannot understand because you are not sensitive and you cannot feel the beings, the consciousness and all the things. Just as I travel in Malaysia, actually everywhere I go, North South Highway or even Johor side, especially Johor side, certain area of Johor and certain places, when I pass through that highway, I can feel, even Singapore also got, this type of great cultivators type of energy. They are there. Just like I was in Vientiane. I told you before that before the immigration, I felt something. I thought got great being there, cultivator there. Then I told Yun Chan, there is some cultivator around, very, very beautiful nature. Then later on, I realized it was not cultivator because the two stupa, the two stupa was full of these relics of Sakyamuni Buddha. And this one is not the small, small relic, no. Whole piece one, no, it seems, according to the guide that told us. That's why they enshrine the stupa, the king of Laos. They told me the Laos break into three kingdoms. There were three kings at that time. Then later all the kings were removed after the French took over. Then now they got the victory arch and all those things. Then the stupa, the remain. So this stupa is actually the relic is from Long Prabang. Long Prabang, they also got a king. He got a lot of relics from India there. Then it's the oldest. Then the relics was also transferred from Long Prabang to Thailand where the Thai Buddhism came up. So they have a lot of Thai with Long Prabang. So Long Prabang is very famous because it's very ancient. There's also a lot of stupa with good vibration there. But there in Long Prabang, there's a lot of this ops. You know what is ops? ORBS. You go Pinapala, you take any photograph, a lot of ops on. Because these are those beings, the earthbound, Devarine but earthbound. Then a lot of these beings are around. That's why they have these ops. So this is nothing special. Don't get excited when you take photo with a lot of ops. Because these are just that rhyme of beings. And these are mostly, you go to this ancient place, they got a lot of this type of beings get trapped at that rhyme. Of course, some, they say it's devas and other things. Yeah, deva in inverted comma in that sense. Because they are just energy field. Then when you take photo with our, what they call, digital camera, you can actually detect them. So what happened was all this, they are actually related to consciousness that I try to explain. So like in Vientiane, this trip I go, I already knew 20-30 kilometers before I reach the boundary, I silent my mind, I already feel the vibration. That's why when I pass through, Song also feel there are quite a number who are already sensitive, they also can feel. I think Pak Masuri also told me he can feel also. There is a few of our Kayamita, our group one. So because of that, I told Pradesia, I say, I ask you one question, then you will understand why I say that. You look at China. China. Let's say 30 years ago, I tell you, I predict, let's say, I can see China will come up and become a very different country. Very vibrant then, economically, politically, and even the consciousness there, they will improve. You sure won't believe it. Correct or not? How can that communist country with that tie or iron curtain and other things and people so backward? Where we have a lot of our parents telling us their parents who are trapped in China last time suffered so much. Then it took them quite a while. But then the moment China turned around, because the being that come, the consciousness that come is different. That's why now you see China. There is one saying, there was one Kuailo who can foresee. You know what he said in his book? He said, China is a sleeping giant. Don't let him wake up. The moment he wake up, the world will see a different China. That's why China woke up. The last 20 over years, you look at the way China progress, their economic development, their economic purchasing power. Not only number two, they got the highest human population, understand? And their race, one in four in this planet is the Chinese, understand? We got 6 billion population. China alone, 1.3. 200 million overseas. So 1.5, one quarter is Chinese. So when I explained this, then he started to understand. We can never underestimate all this. But all this consciousness, when they come, that's why you look at Malaysian, they are very talented. Although we are a very small country, we have a lot of great talent. The only thing is that the government is the one that limits all this ability to move. Then initially, Brother Sia told me what? No? He said, Brother Teo, we got our Chinese culture, what? 5,000 years of history, you know, Chinese culture. You know? We are very hardworking, man. That's why China came up. I said, are you sure? During the Second World War, when Japanese attacked under communist rule until 1970 something or 1980, we also have the Chinese culture. How come China is so backward? How come its people is like that? It has nothing to do with the culture. It's the government, understand? What has changed the last 20 years? The government, understand? That's why when you have a government, I used to say, no need to be smart. No need to be efficient. You only need to have an honest government. Honest and sincere. Wow. Our culture, you see, our rich culture, human nature, you must understand. No? Our strong point is because of our culture, we emphasize a lot on education, understand? Why did the ancient day, the Chinese, emphasize on education? Why? Because to come out of the poverty cycle, you have to go through education. They say, 考状元. When you pass the imperial exam, you can be promoted to a high imperial officer. And that's how you come out. So our civilization is the same. If they know that through business, through education, you can have a future where the government allow it, understand not? Under communist rule, who wants to work? There is no incentive. Where everybody is equal, understand not? You how smart, how hardworking also, given same amount. You how lazy also, given same amount. Because they call it, everybody is equal. So when you have a government who doesn't create incentive, doesn't understand the human need. Your economy cannot grow. Your country cannot grow. That's why later on I saw the what they call documentary about Deng Xiaoping. You know how he changed China or not, modernized China or not? Chou Enlai helped him actually, free him from prison. Yeah. So he knew, you know, he told the Chinese government and the officer all there, he said, we cannot follow Mao Zedong's idea. No. You know why? That ideology, no incentive. People will not work for you. Then the country is so poor, no? You lock everything out. You say we can be self-sufficient. Means technology don't come in. You cannot import things. You don't know what is happening to the world. The world has progressed so far ahead of you, and yet you think you're very smart, very good, everything self-sufficient. But your GDP is so low, understand, no? The government got no money. They want to expand on education. They cannot. They want to provide infrastructure for growth. They cannot. They don't have. That's why Deng Xiaoping came out with this idea. He said, whoever who can come out with idea and all this, what we need is to build up a government that is sincere, that can actually create incentive for the people to work hard and bring forth the wealth. Then we can help people. We can help the Longming, the rural area and the agriculture sector and all those things. Then after that, we can set up industry, provide employment. Then we can give incentive for people who has idea and who are hardworking and all. That's how they try out city by city. They started off with Shenzhen, I remember the documentary show. But there's one group of Chinese students who went overseas and they went to Hong Kong. Then they saw how Hong Kong government, through the British type of system, tax system, developed that. Then they came back, they tried their own village. But initially, there was so much of this communist idea that want to stop them and discourage them. Then luckily, there is somebody there who knows Deng Xiaoping. A good friend wrote him a letter and tell him about a success story. And Deng Xiaoping, being a very open-minded person, he said, I will visit that place personally to see for myself. Then he saw, then he understood how it can grow China. Then he himself chaired the Central Committee meeting and said he is going to try this out. Yeah. And it became successful. Then they start to implement city by city. That's how within a very short span, China came out. Then every city like a model, they have all the record, how they grow. They're all the good point of all the civilized world. The Western world, the Eastern world, and whatever. All the government, various type of government, they analyze them, and they take the best of both. That's why they came out with their new one. No, not the right time. No, not the right time. He was put in jail actually by Mao Zedong and the wife, Jiang Qing and Ling Biao and all that. But what happened was, this break, it can help you understand. The consciousness has evolved. Then when Deng Xiaoping came out, you know what he did or not? He did a very important move. He studied all this system and he told the Central Committee that we have to change. We cannot go the old way. It's just like Sakyamuni teach you the Dhamma, same. The old way is the heedless way. You suffer, okay? You suffer, enough. If you don't straighten your view and change, follow his advice, train your mind to be heedful, avoid all evil to good and purify the mind, develop the wholesomeness, you can never become different. So China, for it to change, same. You have to educate the people, avoid all evil, do good, have more wholesomeness. Means the government must start to feel for the people. Understand? So what did the government did was very good. They actually open up, give people incentive, and all this promise, they channel back the money to education, to infrastructure, and to develop all the other cities and other things. So what you see here is, it's just the government change. And what they did was, they go for meritocracy. Last time was army control, understand not? All the state-owned, that they call it the GLC, Government Link Corporation, all those money, corruption and all those things. So when Zhu Rongji came out after Deng Xiaoping and all those things, together with that, what is his name already, the president, Jiang Zemin. Wow, these two are engineers now. Engineers now, and they're very good. And you know what they did? Because China has a system of government, no need to go for election on. Understand? No need to fight on one party system. You know you save how much money politics or not? You save how much it fighting or not? So all these people are groomed through meritocracy, you know. Like you want to groom badminton player, how you do? You go to the rural area, kampong. You have a tournament. Then the champion of that kampong go to the town. Then the town play champion or the top field, then go to the state or provincial. Then when you top the provincial, only you go to the state. Then when you top the state, you go federal. And then you go international. So all this meritocracy is like that. That's why they handpick. Then they groom all these top one. I think left with 30 over only at the top, to take over from the existing one. And every leader is maximum, I think, 8 years, or 6 years, I forgot already. No matter how good are you, you have to go. But all your perks, everything taken care of. You don't have to worry about how to corrupt and take money when you are in power, where you don't have that ability, because they appoint you one. After that time, you have to go on, and you cannot build out your empire, because the center committee that select, they are all representative from all the various small counties, understand not? So all these people, they will choose. Then you have to go up. You cannot bribe so many, understand not? Even at the final level, the 30 over, they have a group of central committee, a lot of members on from all the various state or province that are represented on. So you cannot, there's no way for you to bribe everybody on. So they were based on merit. They will study you. Then they say, okay, these are our leader next in line. So while you are next in line, you monitor and develop the understanding of the whole process. They got the archive, the records. So they will monitor from the back how the foreign policy, then the history behind the foreign policy with every country. Then they have like an academy to study the various leaders that come out, how they run the country, how they implement all those policy, how it benefits. So they have study on. Then as they go through this study, actually they are already prepared to take over. Then during those few years, when they prepare you, you know what they tell you? You cannot make mistake. You make any mistake, out you go. Yeah. That's why the country becomes so different. So the leader come out, no need to worry about election, have to raise fund for election, have to take money before I retire, don't have such thing. No need. Everything is one government. And last time the Western philosophy say, if you have one government, no opposition, you should die on. Where they become very corrupt. But China show it to the world. This is the best system of government. That's why they become so vibrant, so successful. Yeah. Until now, you look at China. They really capable of a lot of things that the world is not capable. Yeah. The fast rail, the building, the bridges, all. Even as an engineer, I really amazed. I really take my hat off. They are so different now. Last time, the Chinese engineering, what they call capability, because we are from MU, we thought we are very good. So we used to think our design is better, we have better understanding. Last time, yes. Last time you go back China, their technology is very old. The design all very old. Now you go back, I tell you, that type of design that they come out with, we all hear they're not built. Because you think it cannot stand. So thin, the structure. And the span so wide. So a lot of things has changed and evolved over the years. They progress very fast. Their people are very hardworking. And given the incentive and the good government, that's why they duplicate the success. Understand? City by city, they implement. And it's very well planned. And you look at the way they grow, I tell you, you will never be able to catch up with them. That's why Malaysia has its chance, but you will have to wait till the thing hit the bottom, understand? Because there is only the majority race that can make this change. Understand? If the majority race don't make this change, if they don't wake up, nothing can happen. Very slow, the process. But it will happen, so don't worry. So all this is part and parcel of consciousness. When you have goodness, kindness, understanding, you contribute towards the country consciousness. And the country consciousness will contribute towards the global consciousness. Then the collective consciousness will evolve. It will change. So it's not one person. But the individual is very important. That's why Krishnamurti said the individual must change. Unless the individual change, the collective will not change. Because the collective is a summation of all of us. So when you understand this, then you know why the crowd instinct. If there are more of this deluded, heedless one, they will influence and create more deluded and heedless. But when we have the numbers of those who are not heedless, heedful, then they show and shine forth to all these heedless ones. Then slowly, one by one, they will understand, then the word will spread. Then this one will outgrow the heedless. Understand? Because it's very easy to choose. When you know the Dhamma, you will not go back to your old heedless way, true or not. You will never do that. That's why this thing has to go into the collective. Then the consciousness will change, evolve by itself. No need to do anything. It's black and white one, so easy to see that. You continue the old way, you can be rest assured what the result will be like, true or not. But if you start to investigate, develop yourself, change for the better, then you realize you become different. Okay? Okay, we have to go back to the sutta. Ayo, 10:15 already, another 10 minutes. Okay, we finish off this one. If people can receive whole, read, recite, and speak it for others, they are completely known by the Tathagata. We finish until here. They are completely seen by the Tathagata. Okay, such people accomplish immeasurable, inexpressible, boundless, inconceivable merits and virtue, and thus sustain the Tathagata's Anuttara Samyak Sambohi, means the Sammasambuddha's legacy. Understand that? We better end here. You got any question or not? Anybody got any question? I have a drink. Anybody got any question? Or want to share something or add something? You can. You all have to learn to ask or speak up so that there is condition for you to express yourself and to maybe. Sue, thank you. Not Sue. I thought Sue. Sue asked for the mic. Okay, good, Pauline.
Brother Teo, I remember there was one statement saying that
I think the Dhammapada 23 saying that heedfulness consists of two parts. It is one is ever mindful.
Yes.
Two is constant meditative.
Yeah, constantly meditative.
And those who are steadfast will go.
The steadfast one will realize Nibbana.
The
born free Nibbana. Yeah.
My question is when I actually really hear this, perhaps I heard many times, I really hear this, it strikes me is, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because ever mindful and constant meditative,
to
my understanding, they are the same.
No, different.
I don't get the real difference. That's why my question is.
Okay, it's very easy. You're off the mic. Very good question. You see, if you don't understand, you should ask. Otherwise, you will get trapped there. You see, Dhammapada verse 23, she quoted that verse. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will realize the born-free Nibbana. So, there are two parts to it. Maybe I write it down. Constantly meditative. Plus, ever mindful. See, these two parts, you add it up. It becomes heedfulness. So the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23. Mentioned very clearly. According to the Buddha, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, if you hold on to these two cultivation steadfastly, you will realize the supreme born free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So she wants to know what is the difference. To her, these two is the same. Constantly meditative and ever mindful. Is it the same? Is it the same? Cannot be the same. These two are different things. Ever mindful means what? First, you train your mind to be mindful. You understand? Then you stabilize it to be ever mindful. You understand? Means constantly aware. So this one is, maybe I use red. Ever mindful means constantly aware. That's why initially you train your mind to be mindful, aware. Then you stabilize it. Then it becomes constantly aware or ever mindful. So this one, sati, then stabilize it. Stable. How to spell? Stabilize. I-L-I-S-E, thank you, May. So you train yourself in sati, then stabilize it, then it becomes ever mindful. Understand? Means constantly aware. Throughout the day, you are mindful, like what Hurong they all have developed. So you can be constantly aware throughout the day. This is the real meditation, the real training. That's why daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, means you cultivate the fourth foundation, sati sampajana. mindfulness and clear comprehension. So when you have mindfulness and clear comprehension of every action, every movement in the present moment, then you are ever mindful. Then constantly meditative means continuously meditating. So what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? So this one is equivalent to constantly cultivating. Noble Eightfold Path. That's why these two are different. One is just aware, stabilized. That throughout the day you are aware, constantly aware. Aware of what? Aware of this cultivation, which is the meditation. That's why whatever meditation you do, I used to tell you all, if it doesn't bring forth the result for you to have this Noble Eightfold Path, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So what you have cultivated, let's say, the four foundation of mindfulness, is only one of the eight path factor, understand not? But that path factor is very powerful. Well, that is sati, samasati. And that one can insight into phenomena, give rise to wisdom and understanding. And from there, all the other path factor will fall into place. But you still have to cultivate it. You still have to reflect and contemplate into it. That's how the right view come into place. The first power factor of samadhiti, right view. Then right view will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and your right livelihood. Then you will constantly arise your four right effort to constantly purify the four type of right effort which we have gone through. Then after that, you have your mindfulness, which you have already covered under the four foundation. Then the last one is, when mindfulness become ever mindful, it stabilizes, become samadhi. So sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are. Then you can develop the wisdom, you can awaken. Okay? So now you understand. The two are very different. So if you don't have this understanding, then the Buddha say you become heedless. The heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. So if you have these two going on continuously, then you are destined for enlightenment, like the Buddha said. They will realize the born-free Nibbana, supreme born-free Nibbana. So this is an assurance. The moment you are heedful, you already destined for enlightenment. That's why these two combined is heedfulness. That's why the Buddha say the heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. The meaning is this. So to be heedful, you have to train your mind to be mindful, sati, stabilize it, then it becomes ever mindful. That's why without the daily mindfulness, you can forget about meditation. Really, forget about meditation because it will not change you. The Noble Eightfold Path can never be cultivated without continuous mindfulness. To see your mental intention, but every aspect of life, you have to be heedful, you have to be mindful. Otherwise, you are as if dead. So if you only in the retreat mindful, let's assume you can be mindful. Because that type of mindfulness which people do, they think is mindfulness, is different. That is a conditioned state, understand? That is not in a free mind, in the daily life. The free mind in the daily life is different. So this one we are talking about daily life, in the midst of life. That's why ever mindful and constantly meditative means the three turning. You listen or you read, contemplate, reflect, inquire, then meditate. Then it will unfold. That's why I say, don't be in a hurry. understand it clearly, then do, then you progress very fast. When you do, don't try to know. The understanding will come. The moment you become ever mindful, this will, like magic, will work by itself. You will understand by yourself. You will progress by yourself. Then you will see a lot of things that you never see before. That's why you need sati, mindfulness, to start the meditation. That's why this is the first factor of enlightenment. Then only you can investigate the Dhamma, second factor of enlightenment. Then only there is this, what they call spiritual zeal, virya, to continuously cultivate. Because when you investigate into the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma, then you realize you stand up to investigation, you have faith, unshakable faith, then you have joy. Then this will drive you to cultivate. That's why the third factor of enlightenment, virya, arise. Then when virya arise, your meditation will fall into place. Your sati will stabilize. That's why you will experience piti, the fourth enlightenment factor. Then as you experience piti, you relax into it and silent. It will develop into sukha, then finally accumulate into pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, no movement on. But it's not a conditioned state, it's not in focus, not one-pointedness, not in absorption. It's a free mind that is naturally aware, no movement on, no thought inside there. That's why they call that the true mind. That's why you must realize that true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And that is the one that can awaken and can understand. That's why when that one stabilizes, it becomes samadhi, the sixth factor of enlightenment. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are and the wisdom will arise. Then when there is wisdom, you can have the seventh factor of enlightenment, the last one, upekkha. Upekkha is equanimity of mind. This mind, because of samadhi, is collected, unwavering. In the moment of sense experience, at the moment of sense experience, the mind does not waver, it's collected. That's why it can see things as they are. Then it can awaken, it can develop the wisdom, understanding. That through the understanding, there is no duality. That's why the mind is not reactive. Is in the state of equanimity, upekkha. And with that, the seven factors of enlightenment will complete. Then you will awaken. And that upekkha is born of wisdom. The enlightening will know. There is another type of upekkha, born of concentration. The mind also unwavering, collected, but is in concentration, a conditioned state in jhana. One-pointedness, absorption, and all those things. But that one is a conditioned state. The hindrance, the defilement, the anusaya, the asava, they are all suppressed, cannot come out. But if it's born of wisdom, free mind, then it can come out. But because it has the wisdom, that's why it cannot come out. So rooted out, not through a conditioned state of mind, rooted out because of wisdom. That's why this one, even when they get very old, the form of mind, very weak, no more energy to develop jhana and all those things, they still are not affected. There is still no delusion. The wisdom will see to it that or the form of mind is just a form of mind. And they will realize that cessation, nibbana. Then they will parinibbana. Okay? Can understand? You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we should thank Polian for the good question. Sadhu. Oh, exactly 10:30. Very good. So we can end. So we'll do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Over the last 2 hours plus, we had the puja, then we had the meditation, then you renew your precepts, you listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view, you rejoice, then you pay respect, reverential salutation, then we make offering, dana parami. So, dana, sila, bhavana, you do. Then after that, you listen to the Dhamma. You straighten your view. You rejoice. Then now we share merit, transfer merits. Then you provide service to community and other things. So these are the 10 meritorious actions that you can do while you attend spiritual classes or activity, like our Tuesday class, Thursday class, or even house dana. So we will invoke the power of all these merits. Then we will share with all beings, starting with the devas. Aka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the Buddhas, Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Some of you can help to bring the food over, so that you all can have your meals.